This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
To declare your independence on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear here and there. You're independent. Ernest Hancock on the Free Talk Live Network. We're continuing our conversation with Keith Knight, the podcast Don't Tread on Anyone, and the author of several books. His whole awakening he documented in books and on his podcast from being he's only 27 years old. But since 17, he's progressed over the Levolution years, the growth of the woke community, the examination of voluntarism, libertarianism versus liberalism, progressivism, wokeism. And it's just amazing to have a young man that's really seeking truth be able to share this with his audience. And then he's very well read, knows a lot of the great thinkers, and also, you know, heads up as an editor for the Libertarian Institute. So this is an accomplished young man. I want to share more with you. Enjoy.
He's saying that there is some truth within Marxism. He says, here are the 5 points of Marxism that are correct. One, the history of mankind is the history of class struggles. It is a history of struggle between a relatively small ruling elite and a larger class of the exploited. The ruling class is unified by its common interest in upholding its exploitative position and maximizing its exploitatively appropriated surplus product. Class rule manifests itself primarily in specific arrangements regarding the assignment of property rights. Internally, the process of competition within the ruling class generates a tendency toward increasing concentration and centralization. Finally, with the centralization and expansion of exploitative rule gradually approaching its ultimate limit of world domination, class rule will increasingly become compatible with the further development and improvement of productive forces. So he says those 5 things that the Marxists believe are essentially correct. The problem is they do not accurately determine who is the exploiter in society. So saying that the employer or the business owner is the exploiter does not account for the fact that a lot of business owners and employers take a ton of financial risk, have to do a ton of market research, and find out what consumers want, both products and services. They have to find out what to sell, where to sell it, at what price. They have to market these goods. This is something the average worker is not involved in. The Marxists saw no value in all of the ideas that it takes to generate a company in the first place in order for there to be places for workers to work at. So when they didn't take this into account, they pinned everything on the rich and said that all of this true stuff does happen, but it's not the fault of the rich who voluntarily offer you things. The actual exploiters are the thieves, whether it's a low-level private thief or a big thief like Bernie Madoff, who runs a Ponzi scheme, or the biggest thief, the state, as Hans Hoppe calls them. The state is an expropriating property protector. That is how there can be such overlap between the Marxists and the libertarians. The Marxists have a great deal of insight onto what the problem is, but their solution is to incorrectly identify the correct culprit as far as who the exploiters actually are.
You know, this is, thank you for that. And I give you, rubber meets the road political example. When libertarians run for office, you get on the ballot, boom, you get an invitation to everything, every forum, and we would take that seriously. We all thought we'd go out. That was the reason why we did it. You know, are you going to get more votes telling the teacher union that, you know, separation of child and state? I mean, you know, probably not. But we would take advantage of it. One of the things that you would get every election cycle, and I've run just about every election since 1990. I mean, a lot. You go to them as the unions, and they would have this one union hall down. It used to be down on Central and, I don't know, Indian School around there somewhere. You go into this one union building, AFL-CIO, which is kind of a consortium of a bunch of unions anyway. So you go in there, and you'd have representatives from this union, that union, the union, unions of the unions. And they would kind of be surprised that a libertarian would even come. Well, obviously we're not going to, you know, whatever. It's like libertarians going to the handgun control endorsement meeting or something, right? So we go in and be friendly with them. You know, a lot of times we'd see them on the trail of something. So we go, look, libertarians are your best friends. You know, we understand the freedom of collective bargaining. You could do that voluntarily with your friends or your co-workers, because you own your labor. We believe in self-ownership. You own you. Now, we can make you do it, you know? So you go and you negotiate your price. You're free. You can collectively negotiate that price. You know, yada, 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 yada. But then we go, when you get the government involved, to force. God, what do they call it? Collective bargaining. You know, they force you to bargain with them. You have to. Well, Arizona is a right-to-work state. In our Constitution, you can't have work requirements that you belong to a union or you got to, you know, collect bargain. This kind of stuff, it doesn't apply in Arizona. I fire you because I don't like you, you know? Well, the thing is that you have, in Arizona, you have the ability to hire and fire based, you can't do, there are some restrictions, you know, wage and price, what do they call it, the wage department or something. But when you have the ability to hire and fire anyone, it means what? That the job is the employer's. They're the ones that created the job. When a worker will say, and we'll explain it to them, and you go, well, you're taking my job. You're doing this to my job. You're giving somebody else my job. It's not your job. It's your labor. The job belongs to the employer. They're the ones that created that. Say thank you. I mean, you know. So this attitude, as you do politically, and you give a lot of examples, and you give situations and things in the news, and we'd always update them on whatever. The cognitive dissonance that they have, and knowing what you're saying is true, but a lot of times they're leaders in the union. They're there to advocate for, we're going to make, and you got it, and what, and if you're a union of police or firemen, well, a fireman union endorsement means you get your signs up, because they would work 2 24-hour, you know, shifts. They'd be there 2 days, and then they get the rest of the week off, you know, and they had a lot of time. Well, a fireman endorsement, I mean, they had posts for your signs and labor. Endorsed by the firemen, boom, that means they put up the signs. That's what that means. Endorsed by the police, I'm not even sure what that means, but they had the police and firemen as a voting unit. They're friends and family and supporters of I Love Me Some Firemen or whatever. So that would be tied to such and such percentage increase in the budget. They get their salary, more bennies, more fire stations with hot tubs. I mean, literally, you know, this is the kind of stuff that would go on. So the unions, a libertarian perspective, it's an opportunity for us to educate them as individuals. So we would go. We knew we were going to get endorsements. We knew that they weren't, you know, but you could see behind their eyes the wheels turning. Damn, that's a good argument, you know. So I can see why Arizona has always been such a target for many reasons. We're on the border. You know, we're a large land state,
but only 16% of it is in private hands. The rest of it is gunnery range, Forest Service, BLM land, you know, Native American reservation, on and on and on and on. You know, wilderness side, you're not allowed, park or something. So there's very small amount that goes in, is even available for purchase to, you know, mom and pop. And when they do this, any purchase that they carve off of some BLM thing, or they're making this available that you, it's always in like 100 acre or square mile sections or whatever. It's not to the, even though they would make more money auctioning it to individual people. No, it's who's got the pull, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona has been such an example for me and a lot of people around the country, certainly as we pushed back, that there's going to be a lot more pushback again, because do you really think that Arizona is a blue or purple state? Because when you look at these maps of, you know, red and blue states, Arizona's blue. And I'm going, I don't know who you're talking to. What do you think? Are we you know, controlled by the unions? Constitution doesn't allow it, and they understand. Are they controlled by, you know, lefty, liberal, big, giant universities of everybody's got purple hair? Are they controlled? I mean, where is this blue coming from in your mind, Keith?
Most blue is generated by the media, Hollywood, as well as the Arizona schools. If you go to any of those school meetings, the average teacher is unequivocally a progressive. Even the schools that I went to were, most of the students' parents were Republicans, all the teachers. When your salary relies on, you know, the state giving you the money, come on, you're going to be much more favorable to state growth. If you work at the Catholic Church, you're going to be sympathetic to Catholicism, all else equal. So it's nothing we should be surprised about. So in general, it comes from the media. But in Arizona specifically, it comes from the teachers and the immigrants overall. That is how people tend to vote. It's very difficult for them to learn lessons, whereas Cuban immigrants tend to be much more Republican, from what I understand. Mexican or Venezuelan immigrants still have yet to learn the lesson, unable to correlate what caused the issues in the places that they escaped from.
I think it's so, been taught, you know. So when you have a Michael Reckonwald come, you know, and campaign in a state like Arizona, being a Marxist, or anywhere where you have Marxist or a liberal-oriented electorate, I'm wondering what kind of impact, from your experience in talking to him, you think he would be able. And you said Marxist libertarians. I didn't know there was such a thing. When did you make that up? I mean, you know, so I'm like, okay, is that going to give him a leg up, you think?
Yes, because he is able to give people a genuine divide. It is very difficult to maintain the man versus woman divide that the left pushes, the Islamic versus, you know, American divide that the right pushes. Look how quickly they lost this Islamic divide once there was a Russia-Ukraine war. It was completely out of the narrative for so long, and then even when you push, it turns out that this Islamic terrorism is the result of blowback because of the U.S. government's policies in these countries. This has been so exhaustively proven, especially by a professor at University of Chicago, Robert Pape, in his book Dying to Win and Cutting the Fuse. I'm just going to dogmatically make that point because it's so well proven. Reckonwald's ability to clearly say men versus women, fake divide. Black versus white, obvious fake divide. Young versus old was a divide that they used during COVID. You want to get a job, you want to go buy products and services and live your life. You don't even care if grandma dies. So there are so many fake divides that people are just fed up with. Reckonwald is the one Javier Milei opportunity we have to give people a genuine divide. Trump's not giving it to people. Rand Paul never did a good enough job. Whereas Ron Paul, of course, did the best job that we could ever
hope for. Regime. Oh, that's a good one. All right. This is
there's so many openings. Yeah.
So what do you think? Have you had any experience with the Libertarian Party as it's constructed now here in Arizona? You know, you got any?
Don't know. I've been to a few events. I don't know enough specifics.
You know, I did make the attempt to just see what was up, because I knew in January there's state conventions, you know, the elect officers and so on.
Yeah.
So they had already done that. And I'm like, all right, you know, they're meeting, you know, let me know what's up. Ernie and Donna's back in town. I mean, we were very prominent, you know, for a long time. And I'm just, so it's probably a whole new crowd. They don't, you know, Ernie who, you know, whatever. But the, I just wanted to get hold, I mean, it's just a template page from, like, National. They just said, okay, what do we put up and fill in the blanks of this and have all the, you know, common collective rhetoric. And nothing. Nothing. Yeah. I see nothing. So I did send the chair an email. I haven't returned. Got a return. And I remember when I took over, the biggest problem they had is they never answered the phone. It just went to a voicemail. And I'm going, no, hell no. Forward it to my cell phone. I'll answer the freaking phone. That was probably the biggest boom that we had, is just answering the phone. And giving information and drink. Yeah. A lot of it was press, you know? So I'm just like, wow, this is, you know, they go, well, you just want the party to be, you know, running for National, we wanted to cut a bunch of stupid stuff they were doing. Well, you just want the party to be a, you know, an answering machine in a closet. I'm going, God, I don't care if it's a closet, but there'll be somebody answering it. I mean, you know, oh my God.
That's so this, improvement.
You know, here in Arizona, I don't know if, you know, wreck the regime wants to come and do anything, he's probably going to have to do it with you. We'll see what we can do. Give him some attention. Yeah, and Donna's going to have him come on, and I'll grill him and see what I think of him. But this is the year that I think libertarians would really make out a lot for a lot of metrics that you would have. You know, just people reading, people paying attention, people understanding, general public opinion being shifted using libertarian candidates and rhetoric. But I don't see that it's just been the air sucked out of the room by MAGA and Trump, which is fine if they would, you know, advocate for liberty-oriented whatever. But the one thing I remember when we first started hearing about Javier, when he would, video clips would start coming where he's on some talk show host, he's calling the politicos, they're all scumbag pieces of crap and cussing and the BS of, yeah, I mean, just yelling at them, and we're never going to, you know, that kind of thing. I'm like, woo, you go. Well, he started getting enough traction and support of the people that the Washington Post did a story that, you know, the first, like, mainstream thing or something, and we put that up. And the first thing they were saying is that, well, he has funny hair like Trump. I mean, that was it. That was the story. This funny hair guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And you go, like Trump. He's a Trump guy.
They're so just profoundly dumb, even with all their collective degrees
their
and all
dumb.
Their money. They're like, Javier Milei, Argentina now has their own Trump. Okay, Milei within like the first week abolished 9 of like their 21 regulatory agencies. Donald Trump drastically increased federal spending.
Right.
From I think $4 trillion to $6 trillion a year, empowered all these organizations, even the NSA, CIA, and FBI, who were explicitly against him, and ordered the most tyrannical policy probably ever, canceling the Bill of Rights with the 15-day lockdown to slow the spread, not to even save lives, but to not allegedly overwhelm the hospitals. So they were able to do that without even claiming they were going to save a single life. That's what Donald Trump did. And they're comparing him to, like, an anarcho-capitalist, a guy who, like, dresses up in black and yellow. It's just shockingly dumb.
You know, this one thing that really got me, as we were covering it, and we had, you know, the election night, you know, party, and Frank did his victory lap, and he went to the inauguration, and, you know, and everything, and we reported on it, and, you know, he had all kinds of fun. And you know Frank, man, but he was digging it. And, by the first Saturday, he got inaugurated. I remember it was that first Saturday, he's bombing Yemen. I'm like, you know, all this stuff we got with Yemen, you think that was all Biden? I mean, you know, it's just, you know, it's just, how much of that was Trump or just happened around Trump, and he had to either admit he wasn't really in control. You know, he says, pull all our troops out of Syria, and they go, no, we're not. I mean, you know, it's just so craziness what's going on. Do you think Trump going in this time is not going to have, like, you know, the president, you know, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, Prince Rebus, be his chief of staff? He's not going to bring in, like, you know, Bolton, you know, John Bolton. He's not going to bring in, you know, Sessions. I mean, it's just, it was so stupid. Drained the swamp. Hell, he hired all the swamp creatures. So do you think going in this time, it'll be different or just more of the same crap?
We have every reason to believe that it'll be more of the same. He hasn't exactly gone on a huge apology tour saying, sorry, I promoted Fauci. Sorry, I appointed Christopher Wray to lead the FBI. Sorry, I was palling around with Mike Pompeo. Sorry, I appointed John Bolton. And I had Nikki Haley working at the UN. I think that was under him. But, you know, I'm sorry the Department of Homeland Security said we could use Cloudflare to, you know, stop people from spreading freedom ideas on social media. We got none of that. So we have every reason in the world to believe it's going to continue. And we didn't even really see a back down. While we saw no new declared wars, we saw significant expansions in significant foreign policy realms, provoking a war with Russia by sending the Javelin missiles to Ukraine, as opposed to, you know, wanting to be friends. For some reason, he had a soft spot for Kim Jong-un, but wanted to constantly vilify 1 billion Chinese people. It was good that he wanted to be with, you know, friends with Vladimir Putin, but the main reason that it would be beneficial, at least somewhat, to support a guy like Trump is because you can have guys like Colonel Douglas McGregor get on Fox News and stroke Trump's ego to avoid a third world war. What he said was, we cannot go to war with Iran. The Vietnam War destroyed Lyndon Johnson's presidency. The Iraq War destroyed George Bush's presidency. And Tucker, if Donald Trump goes to war with Iran, it will destroy his presidency. That is Douglas McGregor's dog whistle, knowing that that's probably a right show, Tucker Carlson, that Trump would watch. He goes, this is how I can avoid a third world war. Tell him it's in his personal interest to do so. And when you have someone like that, he might say, you know, he might be talking to the crowd saying, you know, Richard Nixon could have gone to war with China in 1964 when it was clear that China had nuclear capabilities, referred to as Project 596. But instead, Richard Nixon went to Beijing and shook hands with Chairman Mao. We actually had a formal alliance with Joseph Stalin, who kills far more people in the Ukraine than Vladimir Putin has. And it's much better that, you know, we had an alliance with them as opposed to provoking a war. In 1983, President Ronald Reagan, you had a commercial airline called KAL-007, yeah, was just shot down by the Soviets for allegedly some sort of airspace violation with a sitting American congressman. And Ronald Reagan did not declare war against the Soviets, and within a decade, the Soviet Union came crumbling down. Donald Trump's the only one who's going to be able to sell that message, not because he's so kind, virtuous, and brilliant, but it's certainly in his interest to do so.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
U.S. USA News Update. The deaths of three American troops in a drone attack yesterday has pulled the U.S. deeper into the Middle East conflict in Gaza. President Joe Biden said in a banquet hall of a Baptist church in South Carolina just hours after the attack, "We shall respond." North Korea again pushing the boundaries and launching missiles, this time from a submarine off the coast of the country. The test supervised by South Korean leader Kim Jong-un as a means to get nuclear weapons into the hands of the country's military. That missile hit an island target, but had no impact on the security of a neighboring country. Two people in Mississippi arrested after the abandonment of a newborn girl. She was found behind a dumpster, wrapped in a lot of blankets, sitting in a car seat. The baby taken to a hospital and was found to be in good condition. Corey Myers, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the Free Talk Live Network. We're continuing our conversation this evening with Keith Knight, podcaster Don't Tread on Anyone. He's also the managing editor at the LibertarianInstitute.org. He's organizer of the Voluntarist Handbook and host of Don't Tread on Anyone podcast. Now, Domestic Imperialism is a new book that he's written from the perspective of a young man that was a progressive. And he went full tilt the other way, the pendulum done swung to the right. Well, let's go ahead and continue our conversation, and I think you'll understand why I'm highlighting this young man. Enjoy.
And it's much better that, you know, we had an alliance with them as opposed to provoking a war. In 1983, President Ronald Reagan, you had a commercial airline called KAL-007, yeah, was just shot down by the Soviets for allegedly some sort of airspace violation with a sitting American congressman, and Ronald Reagan did not declare war against the Soviets, and within a decade, the Soviet Union came crumbling down. Donald Trump's the only one who's going to be able to sell that message, not because he's so kind, virtuous, and brilliant, but it's certainly in his interest to do so. You even have the example of Dwight Eisenhower, you know, not just mentioning the military-industrial interests that exist, but in 1956, the Soviets had a regime change. I think his name was Matyas Rakosi, in Hungary. So more or less the same attempt that they're having in Ukraine, some regime change operation that, you know, entails killing civilians along the way, as every government loves to do. And Dwight Eisenhower, Mr. Tough Guy, World War II veteran, said, no, we're not going to declare war because as much as we hate that and it's sad, America does not have the incentive or capacity to protect all people from all tyranny across the world. It's hard enough for them to defend and keep clean New York, Chicago, L.A., and Phoenix, and they want to, like, protect, you know, Tehran, the Donbass region, and Taipei and Taiwan. It's such a joke. Trump, that is the one benefit. Also, Trump is hilarious. Funniest president ever.
I know. I get entertainment.
So that would be beneficial. Yeah.
Well, you know,
so
the thing that...
That's my gun to my head. Biden versus Trump, I would choose Trump.
Well... Vanity, my favorite sin, you know. You ever see The Devil's Advocate with Keanu Reeves and Al Pacino?
Al Pacino? No, but
it's a good movie.
The references.
Yeah. But the point was is that at the end of it, the devil kind of goes to him and, oh, well, I want to meet with, you know, as a reporter. And, okay, well, I'll meet you. And then the reporter morphs into Al Pacino, you know, he's the devil. And he goes, looks at the camera, breaks the fourth wall, and he says, vanity, my favorite sin. Because that's what they appeal to. And it seems like, you know, the deep state, the security state, the national, they, them, those secret handshake, build a Bergen weapon, whatever state. No people like Trump or Trump that what his Achilles heel is. And it's his ego.
Mm-hmm.
It's his vanity.
Yeah.
So when you talk about McGregor going and saying, you know, I'm appealing to your vanity. I mean, you don't want to be a bad guy and be a president went down because you went to war with Iran, would you? No, hell, I would never want to do that. You know. So it's and then when he does do these missile strikes or different things, he's counting. He doesn't have a philosophical bone in his body, it seems like. But, well, they told me. You know, this guy with a shiny badge and a hat and a bunch of initials after name and, you know, a fruit salad on his chest. You know, he told me that I had to because I had to because I had to. So, you know, we're going to go whip ass.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's so steerable that way. Now, Patrick Byrne is, you know, I really like Patrick Byrne. We've had him on quite a bit. And he's a good anarchist libertarian type. And he's, you know, in deep in a lot of things. But in support of Donald Trump and certainly against election fraud. So his big thing, I'm glad that people like him are there. You know, now is Michael General Flynn, you know, what role does he play? Well, he got educated, I can tell you that, you know, whatever. But these people that can give good advice of what's really, do not put that person in, do not hire. And one of those guys was Steve Bannon. Bannon, I think, really had a good beat on a lot of stuff, but he was going up against the headwind of Jared Kushner, you know, Ivanka's husband, and, you know, the Abraham Accords, and, you know, Netanyahu, who's being, spreading him some love and squeezing his biceps and say, ooh, you're so strong, you must lift. Oh, and your wife's so pretty, and, you know, you go, ooh, your kids are, oh, so he's susceptible to that. He needs somebody or something to slap him upside the head and say, yeah, freaking moron, stop. You're not, you know, so who would that be? Is he going to pick a VP that will do that? Probably not. Because he wants loyalty among all other things.
I am so hoping that it's Tulsi. What a great middle finger to the left.
Yeah, okay, let's talk about that before
you... Something like that would be...
We got a couple of minutes. Let's talk about that before you go.
Yes.
In New Hampshire, because of the way the primaries are done and open, when she was running last time, a lot of the libertarian activists, they were supporting Tulsi. Good friends like Jay Noon went out front on the main road. He had, you know, in front of his property, Tulsi, man, Tulsi Gabbard, Tulsi Gabbard, everybody, Tulsi. They're going, Tulsi, Tulsi, Tulsi. Really, to piss off, you know, the left and, you know, for whatever reason, you know, the mental gymnastics they went through for that. I could see the benefit of it. She's a woman, beautiful, of color, whatever the hell that means, and, you know, starting to see, she, been on Fox News and Tucker enough that, you know, people got to know her. I don't know how that happened, but she is, I don't know how she would balance Trump or if she could stomach or, you know, contain any opposition and what Donald says kind of thing. We'll see. But, yeah, she would check off a lot of boxes, as would Carrie Lake. Carrie Lake, I think, is a little too strong. I'm not sure, you know, she would be able to just, you know, lay down for, you know, let him take all the credit or something. But Tulsi Gabbard being in there, I'm not sure how that would play out. Give me your reasoning, how you think it would play out.
So if the VP case is you want to solidify people who are suspicious of you, this might be the female vote, this might be the independent voter, and you want to increase people's interest without taking too much interest away from yourself, I think someone like Tulsi is perfect. She's great to be in a second
vote. Would he lose some of his paid support, though?
Oh, it's going to take a miracle for this guy to lose base support. It didn't take a miracle for Obama, Joe Biden to lose their core support after the Mar-a-Lago raids, after the media keeps telling you, hey, I know we call you evil, racist, sexist bigots without a shred of evidence, and you're all idiots who deserve to be ruled by us, but you can't support this guy. It's like, okay, well, that is who I'm going to support unconditionally forever. So, no, it's not going to hurt his base. If anything, is there a single person he could appoint? Because anything that's even bad could be, you know, explained away with 3D chess or something he has to do in order to get a greater outcome.
Yeah, just ask Q. No, explain it to me.
His base is just so shockingly solid. I mean, just look at the difference in the BLM rioters who were mad at the government for allegedly being a racist organization, which just kills innocent blacks and everything. So when they were mad at the government, they rioted in hundreds of cities and took their anger out on innocent, powerless people because they were mad at the government. When the Trump supporters were mad at the government, they all took flights to Washington, D.C. and intimidated the most evil, powerful people in the country. You cannot tell me that there's all sort of an equivalent between these two. No. The January 6th people had a lot of courage and were much more targeting in who the actual enemy is, whereas the BLM violence was just so wildly inexcusable and shocking that thankfully people like Kyle Rittenhouse were around to do the job the police more or less refused to do. But that goes to show you how much support that his base has versus the base that's willing to really go out and risk their well-being for someone like Joe Biden or Barack Obama. I'm not even sure if people would do that nowadays.
Okay, you're in, you know, with, you know, we know a lot of people that are politicos, got an opinion and whatever, and Keith, you should say, and you should talk about, and Ernie, why don't you, and all that crap. And the election fraud. I mean, there was a lot of people at our discussion group. Oh, that was, you know, I was talking to a good friend that's a talk show host, you know, morning show over at KTR. And he was like, he's going, oh, she hasn't conceded. She's just a blowjob. And I consider him a good constitutionalist libertarian type. And it's just this election fraud thing. They can't, you know. I'm like, I don't know. Can they? Well, then they are. You know, can they manipulate and do for trillions of dollars of ruling the world? Well, guess what? You know. So that, you know me, that's been my main thing. Elections, you know, since forever. But the opposition, they had to even consider this and to not address it, or they can't, or they won't, or something. At least Carrie Lake, the Trump administration, all of this campaign and so on, they are. They're taking it seriously. And with Patrick Byrne in there and Lindell stuff and everything, they're making some headway now. Because to those of us that know, and I know, it is so obvious. But they try and get away with it anyway. So that cognitive dissonance of even the Republican Party, that, you know, the officers and candidates and everything, I go, until you fix that, you're just wasting your time. So what do you think it is? Is it, I have no idea how to even frame the question that they would take it seriously, and they don't. Why?
Yeah, it would be very difficult and risky and would have a lot of traces in order for them to actually be fixing these Dominion machines and doing the fraud like that. So the frauds are much more in your face. In 2016, Hillary Clinton got on the debate stage and said 17 intel agencies, both domestic and civilian and military, have confirmed that these emails were actually released by Vladimir Putin. That's who hacked my laptop. And it wasn't until July of 2017 when the New York Times came out and said, actually, it was not all 17. It was just for the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, and the DNI. So that is how they that is the same thing as having a fraudulent election. When the primary people who you're relying on for information do not give you accurate information about it, just as if I said, hey, this has the power to drive a car, and then I sell it to you and it turns out it doesn't have the power to drive a car. Well, I didn't forcibly, you know, take the dollars out of your bank account. You gave them to me. Yes, but under a fraudulent basis. So to say that the elections are stolen is just obvious. And then as the one I mentioned, 50 former intel officials said that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation associating Trump with Putin. Of course, this is totally fraudulent as well. Joe Biden also said that Vladimir Putin put bounties on the heads of American soldiers in Afghanistan, which the Pentagon to this day is still looking for information in order to confirm or deny whether or not that was actually the case. So because of the explicit lies, they're sold to us. So whether it's stolen or fraudulent, it's just totally illegitimate. As Larkin Rose has always said, you can't even, if I don't have the right to tax or regulate or declare war, how can I delegate that right to someone else? If I don't have $1,000, how can I give someone $1,000? So all elections are fraudulent inherently, but especially these ones. I will tell you, look, I don't know the exact stats, but there is not much incentive in order for people because, oh, this one person is just one vote. I don't have that much incentive in order to, you know, really, unless it's, you know, Florida in the year 2000, the votes are not, you know, heavily scrutinized. I can tell you, I went to vote one time. This was in 2014 for the midterms in Arizona, and I was there for about 5 minutes. It was right on McQueen and Chandler Boulevard at an elementary school, and I witnessed voter fraud within 5 minutes. So I can tell you it is much bigger, and it doesn't even necessarily require a deliberate conspiracy. All you have to do is appoint people with no incentive to actually check out what's going on, and then very few people can take huge hits. But, of course, you know, every election around the world, they're like, well, Putin and Assad and all these people, yes, even if they are elected, yes, even Hitler was elected, but we can't trust those results. For some reason, they have just, like, perfected the ability to hold elections in America at this date. And then for them to say that this was the most secure election of our, you know, nation's existence, you would have to literally look at the amount of fraud in every other single election going back to, you know, the 1700s and then say, yep, here was the percentage of fraudulent votes right in this one and then this one. And then today it's the smallest ever after they completely changed the way the votes are counted when all these ballots were sent out to people's houses with no accountability between the person executing the ballot, the person receiving the ballot, the mailman putting the ballot in the ballot box. It's just too pathetic. But if this goes, that's the, you know, sacred foundation of the state, is that it's not just some random group. It's us. We elect them. They can't get anything done unless it's with our consent. Of course, the opposite's true.
Well, this is one thing that they always say is that, is there going to be an election this year? There might not be an election. You think they're going to have an election? Are they going to cancel the election? Of course not. They need elections.
Yes.
They gotta have an election. You know, how do you think they get to do what they're doing? Well, you got the vote, didn't you? And it was just stupid for Zelensky to come out and say, well, that democracy thing we're fighting for and you're funding us and giving us gazillions of dollars, and not so much until we win the war and we're not having. I'm like, really? You know, this is so, I don't. And one more question for you, go. The debt. Is that ever even going to be paid off? If so, how? If not, what happens? What, you know, this this big giant backpack every child is born with, you know, of debt. What do you think is going to be the end result of this?
The reason you would want to get rid of your debt is so you are not currently on the hook to pay for a bunch of things. The great thing about the state is other people are on the hook for the debt that they take out. There is absolutely no incentive to ever pay this down, and this system has attracted the most evil people across the planet. There is almost no way possible that this could ever get paid down. Just none of the incentives are there. It's like saying, I'm going to drop $100 in Times Square, and then I'm going to go pick it up a year later. It's like, is it technically possible that it could still be there? Yes, but knowing what anyone knows about anything, it's going to be gone in 2 seconds because there's no incentive to leave the $100 there. Same thing with the government paying off the debt. Has no incentive, absolutely will never be paid off, can always be used as leverage to coerce either other countries or the domestic population. I have no clue how they're going to handle it. Fortunately, there are alternative currencies like Bitcoin really leading the way with providing alternatives to the debt. Because if they have to inflate their way out of it, just increase the digits that the Federal Reserve sends out, that would be so devastating for inflation, would drastically decrease the value of the dollars that each person has in their pocket, would especially hurt the savers and people on fixed incomes, a term that's thrown around way too often, so I should come up with another one. But it's never going to get paid off because there's no incentive to do so. It'll just be
okay, Mr. Anarchist. Here's a good question for you. This is something that, you know, has come up. You know, one, as a young activist, you know, since your age, I was like, there's no way that there's going to be Social Security available for me. I mean, you know, that's just, you know, this is just not going to be worth anything anyway, blah, blah, blah. I just qualified. I'm 62 now. Donna turned 62 March 20th, and my birthday is the 29th, so we're the same age for 9 days, you know. We can both file to start getting Social Security. I feel like, woohoo, I win. I give you, I just go buy silver. I want to have it deposited and direct deposited in, and some mail me more silver, government give my money back in silver, you know, or something. I went and started, you know, just to look at what I was supposed to do to fill out the forms, because my son-in-law is a financial guy. So we go in and I look, I go, yeah, I don't want, you know, what was that? Why would they? Never mind. It was just the process of getting thousands of dollars a month from the government to do that. It was just too much paperwork.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, what would you do? You know, thinking, I was you years ago, and now, hey, man, I'd get some of my money back. You know, what would you do?
Depending on the amount of paperwork, I would get a hold of a financial advisor and say, I'll give you 10% of my Social Security for the next year if you could fill out the paperwork properly for me. I just have to cut them a deal because I am like you. With me, it's the huge opportunity cost. I pay a lot of money every year to have someone else do my taxes because I will be driven absolutely crazy when I have to fill out shit that I know that they have the answers to, that they could just send me the bill. Every single aspect, I just feel like I'm conspiring to help a massive terrorist organization every time I take the sacred time of my life to fill out these sheets. So I just pay someone off to do it for me. I know I don't get as much money as I probably could if I put a lot of thought into it, but time is the most scarce resource we have. So I would absolutely take the money, considering I've been confiscated from for all this time, and I'd have someone else bear the opportunity cost, hopefully they could get a portion of it as well.
Well, fortunately, I got a son-in-law, probably be nice to me. But, you know, so that's what's coming. You know, thanks for spending this time, you know, with me. I really enjoy your company, and I'm glad you're around. And just make yourself open to us helping you, because I can see this battle's coming, man. I mean, it's coming. And how are you situated to be able to, I mean, you work multiple jobs, you got multiple jobs outside of your multiple jobs, and, you know, how are you doing this? I mean, you know, you got donation channels, you got, you know, some way we can help you, you deserve help, you know, I want to bring some attention to you, but, you know, how are you able to do this? How do you divide your time?
I divide my time up into a job that I need for money. This way I don't sell out politically. I once really tried to be relying on donations so I could do it full time. And I got a guy, and it was so cool. I was going to have someone just fund my show. And immediately he started saying, well, what you should do is this, this, and that. I barely let him finish the sentence. I hung up and just blocked the number. He didn't want me talking about, I had said, okay, is it sexist to say men are more violent than women, and that's why there's more men in prison and on death row than women? He goes, of course not. And I said, well, it turns out that the races don't commit violence at the same exact rate. That's why there's a disparity between whites and Asians and Mexicans and blacks. And he goes, yeah, that's not something I could support. So we would want you to tune that down. And I said, dude, it's the one defy the media is constantly pushing, and I can't talk about it. Goodbye. So I got another job. So I wouldn't be reliant on my income for anything politically. I can say whatever I want, and, you know, not have it affect my life totally. But if people want to donate, I do allow donations through Venmo and PayPal in the description of, like, every single one of my videos. So that is how people can support me, or, more importantly, they could support the Libertarian Institute on the donate page. That is my home, and that's where I hope to be for the rest of my libertarian career, so to speak. I think it's a great organization that's always publishing podcasts, videos, blogs. So people who are just interested in all aspects of this, if they only like videos or podcasts or blogs or like reading primary documents in our archive section, there's something for everyone there. So check out libertarianinstitute.org/donate. And that is the best way to support me.
There you go. It's right up there. Well, does that go, do you get a cut of that or part of it? Or do I got to say, because of Keith? I mean, how do I do this?
You know what? If you put something in the comment about what you like about the Institute, whether it's a thing we're doing or a person specifically or a direction you would like us to go, please let us know. We're always interested in feedback, especially from people who are at least willing to have some skin in the game, donate a little, then we really listen. Random comments on YouTube and Twitter.
You know, I'm for enough. Like, yeah, I bring money to the, you know, to Supper Club. And Keith, you know, well, I can't just be giving out all these books. I make money. I said, you know, you didn't bring any to sell? Well, I'll slap you around. You know, just, boom, just give me some money.
I totally forgot that, and I'm embarrassed to say I forgot it again. I have two copies of Domestic Imperialism. I'll bid the price up to $150 each on Wednesday, and we'll see who wants to buy them. I'll make sure to sign them, and you get a picture with me.
No, probably give it to you, because a lot of guys support you.
Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one, and I believe it could be, someday it's going to come.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.